today.
Bleak news expected to be released on Friday, a weak employment report. Boy, we hate to hear that kind of stuff. We'd like some happy news heading into the weekend. I would anyway. I'm sure most of you would too. Also, sadly, the death toll from that volcano in Indonesia, near 100. Maybe in a way it's a miracle because of what's spewing out of it and the rumbling and, of course, trying to get all of those villagers out of the way. But it's strange. This is building up, I think, to one of the biggest volcanic eruptions maybe that we've ever seen. And even though that's something that people live with, oof. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We roll all over the place, and you can do it with us. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, please join the party. Let me give you the digits. 800-259-5791. Or shoot me an email, americatonight.net. Couple of quick things cleaning up election-wise, in case you missed it. Here's a little bit of the mop-up. From Connecticut, the Connecticut's race for governor is still undecided. Thursday night, they're continuing to count the votes. I'm keeping an eye on it. Actually, I just got a text from somebody, so that is definite that this is not complete by any stretch of the imagination at this point. The Secretary of State wanted to announce the final unofficial tally in the afternoon. Instead, she didn't get it from Bridgeport. There was a shortage of ballots on election night, so that made them have to improvise. They made photocopies, so that's what happened. And they're trying to get the numbers and get it all sorted out. Again, we live in America, not in a banana republic, but for some reason, lots of these kind of things happen. So they ran out of ballots. What are you going to do? And then there was this crazy call they got. There was a statement. Somebody called up and left a message that there was a bag of the photocopied ballots that were discovered during the counting of the ballots, too. So now, do you trust the numbers? So you have the Democrat Dan Malloy and the Republican Tom Foley who have claimed victory in Tuesday's election. Everybody's shaking hands, but there's no clear winner, and there's a bag of ballots that they're counting because they were found somewhere, and then a message was left. Ooh, that just sounds strange, doesn't it? It's just one of those too-close-to-call things, too. And we'll see. It's pretty big to determine, actually, who the governor is, but at this point, Connecticut cannot officially announce who that person is. All right, also, too, there is one that we can nail shut for you, and that's the U.S. Senate race in Washington State. Patty Murray wins a fourth term, the incumbent. It was really tight. I mean, neck and neck this one was. Came down to the wire, and she's been smashed over the head a couple of times for some of the things that she's seized on when she was campaigning. And it was relentless to talk about the way she voted and her federal spending record because, you know, spend. And that almost brought Patty Murray down, but it didn't. The final tally pushed her lead to 46,000 votes out of 1.8 million counted, so that'd be about 51% to 49%, and they're still, they were talking about hundreds of thousands of ballots still waiting to be processed, but if you analyze that, the lead would still be a little bit insurmountable, so how about it? It looked like the Republican Dino Rossi just might take it, but didn't happen. In the end, she gets another term in Washington, so that's another Democrat staying with the seat, again, the Senate seat in Washington. All right, let's jump to a couple of other things right from the get-go, and sort of along the same political lines, I guess you could say. The big story on the day, I think, was Mitch McConnell one of them anyway, because he wasn't shy from saying it's time to dump Obama. In fact, he had what you would call one of those moments where you jump up on the biggest soapbox you can find and say, I'm tired of not saying what I think. So it was barely an hour after the president invited Republicans to post-election talks to work on major issues. And he said his party's main goal is denying Obama re-election. And so the battle lines are clearly drawn. In fact, specifically, here he is talking about McConnell, that is, talking about the Democrats getting a big fat F, and also the fact that this president should be a one-termer.
Tuesday's election was not about Republicans, it was about the Democrats. They got a report card. They got an F. We can hope the president will start listening to the electorate after Tuesday's election. But we can't plan on that. And it would be foolish to expect that Republicans will be able to completely reverse the damage Democrats have done as long as a Democrat holds the veto pen.
Which is true. He does hold the veto pen. It's interesting because now the former president, George W. Bush, has a book out, and he talked to Oprah Winfrey, and she asked him about Obama, and here's what he had to say. All right, we'll get back to that. But George Bush was on the Oprah Winfrey show, and George Bush was on that show and talked about Obama and what he had to do and how really the focus is you can't focus on the other things. You can't focus on everything that's outside the office. You just have to focus on the task of what you're doing. In other words, the attacks and all that sort of stuff. You can't sit there and worry about that and try to dance around it and defend it because you waste too much time, pretty much is what he was saying, that you have to focus on the problems. There's just too many things you're dealing with, and if you can't do that, then your battleship is sunk. In fact, here he is now.
I want to treat my successor the way I'd like to have been treated. I don't think it's good for a former president to be out there opining on every darn issue. Mm-hmm. He's got a plenty tough job, trust me. And there's going to be plenty of critics, and he doesn't need me criticizing him. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's good for the presidency.
All right, good for him. He took the high road. It would have been easy to try to criticize. But there is kind of a network. Once you've been in that office, you see that people are shocked that Bill Clinton and George W. Bush are actually friendly, that they have some initiatives, some things they work on together. And when Bush was in office, he would call Clinton for advice, whether they're completely opposite ends of how they feel about government and how they would vote on things and how they got to the office and everything else. They still were legitimately friendly. So it shows you that he realizes that, and that's what he's saying to her, that, he was also talking about him focusing on all the other things, but that he's already getting so much criticism that the last thing he's going to do is criticize somebody in the office of the presidency. All right, meet us on the flip side. We're going to tell you, unfortunately, about another airline crash. Stay with us.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American, covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and 5 other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
In odds and ends, we're going to mix it up. And that's what odds and ends is. I'm going to tell you about the AARP actually hiking the health care costs for their employees, citing the recent overhaul of our health care system, really health insurance system. Also, I'm going to tell you about the best place to live. We've talked about this before, but once again, it is chosen as the best place to live by another organization, not just some travel magazine with a vested interest. Speaking of traveling, Cubans now have a more of a chance to interact with family members. You know, we know that that corridor has been opened a little bit more. And sadly, a Cuban airliner flying from the eastern city of Santiago de Cuba to the capital crashed in the mountainous area, and there were 68 people on board, including 28 foreigners, and state media is saying that there may be some, have been some Americans. There's no word immediately on whether anyone survived. All this is unfolding now, but it was a situation they believe because of the mountain and maybe where the plane, the twin turboprop, where that plane had gone down. It looks like they didn't clear the mountaintop, although that's the initial thought. That's not the official reasoning. And, of course, the same thing with the how many people were killed, did anyone survive, all that sort of stuff. But the plane was in flames, and their rescue workers standing around it, so it's certainly not looking good. It was, like I mentioned, a twin turboprop, and the crash site was very close to the Zaza Reservoir, which is the biggest in Cuba, so they mobilized as many emergency folks and all that, doctors and whatnot, that they could gather in that area, which is about 220 miles, pretty far east of Havana. So at the national terminal, relatives of the people on board the plane, they just kept them separate from the journalists and the you know, the other people. They don't know. There was a tropical storm. It would have been one of the last leaving for Havana ahead of Tomas, which was on a track to pass between Cuba's eastern end and probably a western city there. You know, it's interesting when we talk about plane crashes, always whenever there's a crash, whether it's in the United States or whether it's in Europe or, you know, wherever it is, that particular country, always what you talk about is, well, the last plane crash was. It's always about what was the one before that. It's sort of like a sad scorecard as to, well, you know, airline travel is still the safest because, look, we haven't had a crash since this many years. So the last plane that crashed on the island happened in March of 2002. It was a Soviet biplane, and it had a small amount of people, 16, and 12 of them were foreigners, and it just plunged into a small reservoir then. And, of course, people were killed immediately. So that was 2002 all the way to today. Like I said, there's something about that because you want to believe, since that's a lot of us fly and you live far away from people, that statement always comes up, oh, it's still the safest. You could get hit by a car when you're just walking to go get your paper and you accidentally fall into the road or whatever crazy thing people say. You know what I'm talking about, because all of you have heard that saying before, I'm sure. Let's talk about something more pleasant. How about the best place to live in the world? The best country in the world. If you had to pick what that country is, I bet you everybody would name a different country. Well, including the United States. Guess what it is? Norway. The best quality of life, they say. The UN announced that. And, of course, Norway is laden with oil. So when you look at the criteria, wealth versus poverty, health, education, all that kind of stuff, Norway has 81 years of life expectancy and an average annual income of almost $60,000. So it's topped the Human Development Index for all but 2 years since 2001. So Norway's not a surprise because it's been there before. The average income is pretty good, obviously. And Japan also has been on the list a few times, but usually a little bit further down the list, but in the top five. The Japanese life expectancy is 83 years. And then, of course, what the average salary is, the average annual income is okay, too. Australia, New Zealand, and the United States and Ireland are also at the top of the standings. Nice that the U.S. was included in that, huh? Also, the Aussies clicked in there. Zimbabwe came in last among the 169 nations that were ranked. I don't think that's a surprise. You look at some of the other places, Mozambique, the Democratic Republic of Congo. The life expectancy, though, is interesting to note. And while we're talking about 81 years to 82 years in 81 years in Norway and, you know, 80-some years in the United States, life expectancy in Zimbabwe, 47 years. You know what the income is? And, of course, we know it's a third world country, so hello, what do you expect? We know it's going to be, the numbers are going to be low. But the income is $176. Can you imagine? $176. All right, we're bouncing all over the place, including the cleanup at the top of the show. We were talking about politics and Mitch McConnell and the fact that he's saying that his main mission is to make sure that Obama is not reelected in 2012. In the latest Rasmussen poll, because this is important, so who is going to run in 2012 for the Republicans? The candidates, this is how it breaks down. Mitt Romney pulls 20%. Sarah Palin and Mike Huckabee pull in 19%. How about that? The bottleneck of potential nominees came out of a November 1st telephone survey when primary voters were asked who they would vote for if the Republican presidential primary took place on November 1st, and that's how you came up with those people. So that's a big change from a year ago. If you think about a year ago, Huckabee was way up there. He had almost 30%. Romney was like at 24-25, and Palin was still in it too, but at 18%. Then you throw in some of the others, the former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who's been on the tube a lot more talking about the election and what has to happen in the country and all that sort of stuff. He was at 13%. Paul Lynte was at 6%. Ron Paul, his name floated in there. He had 5. And I think you may see that there is some kind of a dark horse. Somebody that's not on these polls maybe comes out of nowhere, and that ultimately is who the candidate is. It's obviously very important to figure out who's going to run against an incumbent president. The even money is that despite this hit, despite what's now happened with the House and, of course, the Republican gains in the Senate, that the president will be reelected. It might be a closer race than the last time out, but that he will be reelected. It's funny that Palin's name comes up a bunch because you have the congressman from there, Steve King, who says that she's got Palin, it's not a surprise really, but that she has extraordinary charisma and a magnetism about her, and her brand of politics make her a formidable force in Iowa. So she's poo-pooing that idea. Can you really see that? Do you really, if you honestly say to yourself, do you really think Sarah Palin could beat President Obama in a race for the presidency? And who's on that ticket? If she were the choice for the Republicans, who's on the rest of that ticket? Who is the VP choice? Like I said, I think it's going to be somebody you're not expecting. The usual suspects might be there, but somebody else will emerge. Then who's to say who the running mate is? But I don't think it's going to be any of the names that I just mentioned. I don't think so. I think you're going to see somebody else. I'll take a few on the flip side. Hang with me.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Push and pull, but let's just go out and ride. Talk about the things we tried. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but they'll never get inside. We got too much to hide.
I don't know. Who would you pick for 2012? Well, that's a good question. If I were a Republican strategist, I would be digging. I would be digging because I don't think I would go with anybody who's on the board. Not to say that, I don't know, who knows, not to say that they couldn't win. Remember the whole thing with Romney before was the craziness over the of him being a Mormon, that, ooh, a Mormon won't win, a Mormon can't win, so that's not going to happen. And Sarah Palin, I don't see how she wins against Barack Obama because there would be backlash from before and from things that she tripped up on. Certainly from the Democrats, they would mobilize, and I think it would be even that much bigger. Not that they're not trying to do that anyway. I don't think it's anyone on. I don't think it's anyone's out there. Newt Gingrich keeps being suggested, but I think it's got to be somebody completely different, maybe unexpected. I don't know. Somebody unexpected. How about someone who's squeaky clean, incredibly talented, knows how to cut through the BS, knows how to handle a soundbite when they talk to the media. There's somebody out there dancing around. I'm not sure who. Don in Wyoming, you have the floor. Hello.
You just introduced him, Kate.
It's what?
You just introduced him.
I just introduced...
Yeah, squeaky clean, cut through the bull. That's me. I'm telling you, with how low these guys' numbers were, maybe I ought to run a shoot. So,
yeah, good luck.
You got everything on tape. They'd be pulling up stuff I've said for the last 5 years on your show. I'd be like, did I say that?
Yeah, you'd be stuck. They would find it. You're right.
Oh, and I'm a Mormon, too, so I guess that leaves me out, right?
No, you're out. You're out. You saw what... Listen, I like Mitt Romney. I like a lot of what Mitt Romney had to say. I interviewed Mitt Romney once, and who cares that I interviewed him, except for I thought that certainly the way he thinks business-wise and how he talks about budgets and whatnot, and you saw how he saved the Olympics and what he did in Massachusetts, which would be enemy territory, really, for him, if you think about it. I don't know. But he won't get elected. There's no way.
Well, that's where the problem is with me and him, is the fact that when he was governor in Massachusetts, he ran on a liberal platform, and then after he was done being governor and got elected there, he switched back to his conservative views. And I don't like those wishy-washy people, Kate, you know.
I know.
I believe he's conservative all along, but I think a lot of it will have to do with, once again, you know, Americans vote in their pocketbook and how the economy is going. He comes from a wealthy family that's run a lot of business as well. And so him or Huntsman is the ambassador to China right now. You know, they're both wealthy families, and they're both businessmen before politicians, and so we might need somebody like that in there. You know, I thought that's what California would do. They'd get Whitman in there so they could straighten out their economy, and, you know, they just want to go back to the same old, you know, spend more than what we got with Jerry Brown. So, you
sure.
know, yeah, anyway, though, but, you know, Kate, you know, it was interesting. You were talking about those impoverished countries and Mozambique and all that. And, you know, it's just amazing. You know, and I don't want to start sounding like a socialist here or whatever, but you know how upset I am with how much money this government spends, and, you know, $4 trillion. And I'm thinking, you know, why are we spending that much on government? Why can't these people budget? Why can't we get this down to where everybody has lower taxes? You know, not just the rich, but everybody's taxes get lowered.
Sure.
You know, how is this country can't run a $400 or $500 billion surplus every year, to where you can go into the countries like, you know, Mozambique and help out? And there's a lot of Americans, don't get me wrong, Kate, that they're very generous with their money. They share their money, and they you know, donate money to charity organizations that go over to these countries, you know. But at the same time, you're just looking at it like, you know, we're so petty, worried about this budget and getting our economy going and everything, and there's people that are in far worse. You know, I heard somebody sit there the other day and say that this is worse than when we were in the Great Depression. I just took out. I says, are you flipping, smoking something, dude? I said, the country was 35% unemployment. People didn't have food. They were sitting out on the street, you know, begging for, you know, handouts. And I said, you don't see that around here in the United States. Sure, there's a few homeless, you know, I wish we could solve that issue. But
sure. It's
nothing like it was back then. I mean, you know, and
no. A
lot of it is media scare, if you ask me. The media scares back at everybody, telling them how bad it is, and then people start thinking negative and, you know, and if you think the positive, but here's what I think, Kate. I'm sorry. But I'm a little upset, and you hear me knocking all the time on the federal government, how much money they spend, you know, and I looked it up. I paid like $16,000 in taxes last year, you know, and I started thinking, well, wait a minute, that means I'm $18,000 short, you know, because
right.
when you hear that thing about how, you know, only your top whatever percent of the country pays the tax bill. What they're basically saying is that I think it's $34,000 right now. If you're not paying $34,000 a year in taxes, then you're not paying your fair share. Somebody else is paying that for the rest of that amount. And that upsets me a lot, Kate, because it makes me feel like, well, you know, there's no way I can pay that much taxes, which means there's no way the government should be spending as much money as they're spending, you know. But I don't want to feel like a charity kid, you know, like I'm owing my life to somebody, like I'm dependent on somebody else. I mean, I work hard, you know, I work 65 hours a week. I pay my own way. I'll borrow money from people, you know, and I mean, you know, personal loans or anything like that. You know, I'll pay their own. I try to be as self-independent as I can without relying on other people. And, And, you know, I guess it's my fear of slipping into becoming a Democrat. Well, I'm always looking for Hannah. Oh, I'm sorry. Not all of them do.
But I knew you were going to come to that slam.
No, not all of them are looking for a handout. But you know what I'm saying, Kate. There's a lot of people who never got John F. Kennedy's famous words, and they expect the government to provide for them because they can't provide for themselves. It's the same way with Uncle Tom used to provide for all his slaves, even though they couldn't provide for themselves, you know. You need to be self-supportive. You need to work hard and take whatever opportunities you have and do it legally, you know, and you feel so much better about yourself. But when I sit back and I think, well, gee, you know what I'm doing and all this stuff I'm trying to do, I'm still, you know, $18,000 short in taxes of paying my equal share. I don't know how much taxes you pay, Kate, but I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that make about the same amount of money as me, or maybe a little bit less, and they're not paying those $34,000 a year in taxes. You know, and they're probably, you know...
Trust me, Don, I pay way too much in taxes. I have the opposite problem. I'm trying desperately to figure out what's wrong with this picture. I understand what you're saying. No, you're absolutely right. That's why, you know, we've talked about this before, about some kind of a flat tax or other options. Because it's the way, I mean, it's cockamamie, the entire system, the way it's run. The IRS, they might as well be a bunch of thugs with guns that hold us all up. And that's part of the problem. There's so much of this red tape and nonsense. And there has to be a better way. We all know that. And there certainly are smart people in this country enough that we could figure out the financial system. I love that Ron Paul wants to look under the hood, like I said earlier, at the Federal Reserve, because you want to talk about a power grab. There it is right there. We're just printing money and throwing it up in the air.
Well, part of the reason why, and another reason, Kate, I think part of the reason why we have a separation in classes in America is because of the tax structure, the way it works, you know?
Yeah.
It automatically tells you, you know, if you're making this amount, you're in this group. If you're making this amount, you're in this group, you know? And you know, I just would love to just for every American to feel like, hey, I'm paying my fair share. You know, no rich person's taking care of me. You know, and the only way that that's going to ever come to fruition, Kate, is to get rid of this federal government. I mean, at least slice her in half, you know, do something.
Yeah,
I mean,
cut it down. Yeah.
You know, I don't think it would take you your whole lifetime just sitting there counting from 1 to 4 trillion to be able to count that long. You know, I mean, you probably lose track somewhere along the way, but, you know, I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of money that's being spent, and you can tell just from the last couple of days since the election, they're both pointing fingers at each other, you know, and of course they both say, oh, yeah, they're going to work at things, but they all got their own agendas, and, you know, they're not missing in a meal, they're not standing out on the street in a sleep line, you know, these people, spend the majority of their time in Washington, and the rest of the time on the Strip in Las Vegas or some other retreat area, you know, they're not amongst their constituents, you know, really finding out what's going on, and sometimes they really don't care if they care, or think that they care, you know.
Right, right.
You know, but hey, last thing real quick, you were talking about Sarah Palin maybe running for president.
Yeah.
Okay, you and I love to talk politics, and it's love to point things out and share our opinions, and love your callers, Mark. And
right.
Sam and
right.
Well, and we talk about this stuff, but you know what? It's one thing to sit there and talk about it, and one thing when you're in the position to be able to actually get things done, and that's where Sarah Palin falls short of, I believe. You know, O'Connell, or the gal over there that I got the crush on in Delaware. Christine O'Donnell, you know?
Yeah.
She, you know, by the way, if you talk to her, tell the guy who's in love with her in Wyoming. But anyway, you know, she didn't have experience, Kate. You know, and that's why she lost. You know?
And she
was a governor, I know, but right. I don't think she'd have the experience of being in that position.
Oh, you know? I agree. No, that's not the right spot for Sarah Palin at all. And that's why it's interesting how she gets these high grades from the Rasmussen polls. Thanks, Don. We'll take more.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hurricanes, ice storms, blackouts, and the prospect of civil unrest. When the unexpected happens, will you be ready? Hundreds of concerned citizens across America have already installed wind generators to help protect their families in the event of a disaster. So act now and build your own wind generator with an easy-to-assemble kit from WindBluePower.com. WindBluePower carries the best battery-charging wind generators and permanent magnet alternators in the country. Our 12-volt wind generator kits are also great for small cabins and campers. And all WindBluePower kits qualify for a 30% tax credit. So get your discount now. Go to WindBluePower.com today and enter coupon code RADIO for 5% off. Or simply call 800-976-0026. 800-976-0026. Protect your family's emergency energy needs now at WindBluePower.com.
Soon we'll be shutting our doors and windows, shutting out fresh air for months. Did you know you're also keeping in allergens, bacteria, and germs that cause colds and flu? What if there was a low-cost way of blanketing your home with clean air? There is. Introducing the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. It utilizes new patent-pending nanotechnology, producing a blanket of oxidizers that cleans the air and sanitizes the surfaces. Imagine not spreading the cold or flu bug to everyone around you. AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier are made in the USA, come with a 3-year warranty, have no filters to replace, no grids to clean, and require no maintenance for 3 years. Try the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier risk-free for 30 days. JCN listeners, get $100 off when you order at breathebetterair.com or call 806-477-0322. That's 806-477-0322. And get the best air purifier for the best price at breathebetterair.com.
To see him when I wake up is a gift I didn't think could be real. To know that you feel the same as I do is a
eyeballing the White House in 2012 on the Republican side of things, and that's Congressman Mike Pence, who is considering the run for 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, because he announced that he was stepping down from the leadership team, and he's made some primary interest, you can tell. And he was, if you remember, he was recruited for a leadership spot a couple of years ago by the speaker to be John Boehner. So you might follow his trail a little bit. Pence is somebody that's in line. I don't know how Pence would do. In September, he did win a presidential straw poll at that values voter summit that they had in Washington. He's made the political trips, you know, the rounds that you have to make to Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. And that's a critical thing that you have to do. You know, it's interesting. He's a six-termer who used to be a radio talk show host. So people like him in his district, that's for sure. And I don't know. I don't know who would you pair Pence up with. Not sure. I'd be curious. All right, let's move to the phone lines, and let's go to Dale in Illinois. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Kate. How are you doing?
Good. Did you vote?
Yes.
And I bet you voted straight Democratic.
That's a negative, ma'am. No, I listened to President Obama's news conference yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid to say I'm not sure that this guy gets it, that he understands what happened to him yesterday. He reminds me of the Black Knight in Monty Python. You know, the Knight of the Round Table comes along and knocks off his arms and legs, and while the Black Knight's laying on the ground, he says, "Is that all you got? You know, bring it on."
Yeah.
You know, he talks about he's going to compromise on energy policy. Golly, Mr. President, you just got your ass kicked.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Right.
I mean, let's get down and get something done. That's why we threw you people out of office. And Mike Pence, I'm sorry, buddy. You got a lot of work to do in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
You don't have time to be screwing around with presidency. Let's do what the people voted you to do, and that's to get something done. People are out here jobless.
Right.
They're overtaxed. That's what we voted against. So, or what we voted to do was to resolve these issues. I don't want to hear anything about who's going to run for president on the Republican side, you know, for a year and a half. I don't want to hear it. We got too much to do. Our economy's in too bad a shape. And, you know, a good example of some of this was I was watching C-SPAN the other day, and I think it was at Georgetown University or at George Washington. I'm not familiar with George Washington University, but they had a Democratic strategist and a Republican strategist. And a professor from the college there, the head of the political science department, were talking about what was going to happen on the elections. This was probably the 1st or 2nd of November. Everybody knew what generally the outcome was going to be. And some girl in the back, some graduate student there, got up and said, "Well, do you think the Tea Partiers can gain enough of knowledge to be competent to help run the government?" Well, that's part of your problem, young lady, is we either agree with you or we're incompetent.
Right.
And I think if you didn't learn anything, you learned it on November 2nd, you'd better start thinking in a far different way.
Mm-hmm.
I
agree. Now, I agree. Clearly, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened.
Well, and the other night, I watch Fox News a lot, of course, but I try to look at the other programs sometimes to get a different view of everything. Now, Fox has some people from the other side on fairly often, but I was watching Chris Matthews, for example, and some of the crazy things that he talked about last night about Sarah Palin, has she ever read a book? What does she read, you know, and just insulting the hell out of her.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to get Democrats and liberals anywhere doing that.
No.
I'm just...
Well, I agree. I think that's what part of the problem is. It's like you saw the Juan Williams thing in NPR. That illustrates your problem right there. And I don't understand that. And you see people who are liberal, the ones who get it, are just cowering in the corner because they can't understand. Always they shoot themselves in the foot, and I think this is the prime example of what you're saying. And that's how is that getting you anywhere, and who cares? I mean, on the election night and analyzing the election results, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, you know, grow up, liberals. Listen to somebody else for a change. They might have an idea or two. And President Obama, you'd better start listening, because you opened the door for Republicans on health care. They presented you with a multitude of alternatives.
Yep.
You didn't take a darn one of them.
Yep.
Now you want to do the same thing over again.
Forget it.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. January 1st, lame duck first, then January 1st could be interesting. Thanks for the call. Good points. Let's go to Mark in New York to end this hour. Hey, Mark.
Good. I'm glad I don't have a lot of time, because I had a lot of topics I wanted to talk to you about the economy and whether or not the stimulus worked. But I'll leave that for next week. In today's New York Post, George Will wrote a column called "They Still Don't Get It." And it basically goes on and on about the Democrats.
I saw it.
All right.
Yeah.
Two paragraphs towards the end, and then I'll get off the air. It just basically, he talks about how Democrats and Obama are blaming everybody under the sun except for themselves and their hubris. And he just quotes from Jonathan Alter in Newsweek. And what Jonathan Alter said was, Jonathan Alter decided that what liberals need is not better ideas, but better marketing of the ones that they have. It's a sign of how poorly liberals market themselves and their ideas that the word liberal is still in disrepute, despite the election of the most genuinely liberal president that the political culture of this country will probably allow. And in response to that, okay, that was Jonathan Alter saying that liberals just have to remarket themselves.
Right.
And from George Mason University economist Don Boudreau, listen to this. This is very important. I don't have the brains to tell you how I feel about progressives, but this is what Don Boudreau said in response to Jonathan Alter. These ideas are almost exclusively about how other people should live their lives. These are ideas about how one group of people, the politically successful, should engineer everyone else's contracts, social relations, diets, habits, and even moral sentiments. Liberalism ideas are about replacing an unimaginably large multitude of diverse and competing ideas with a relatively paltry set of big ideas that are politically selected, centrally imposed, and enforced by the government, not by the natural give, take, and compromise of everyday interactions of millions of people. They want to control us, no matter what it is, and they think we're too damn stupid to realize that this crap that they push down our throats. And your last caller was absolutely right. It's either their way or the highway. Well, we show them the highway. We might not be as highly educated, but we know right from wrong, and we get the basics, and they just don't trust us. And I wish they'd get on the first train and go to Cuba. Thanks, Kate.
All right. He's ready. Pointed out actually a very good piece by Will, as he mentioned, was in the New York Post today, and that was the gist of it. They still don't get it. Unwilling to delay until tomorrow, as Will said, mistakes that could be made immediately. That's exactly what happened. The American people sent a resounding message to Washington, D.C., and all those politicians that things have to change, that's for sure. Send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.